works of righteousness. Look at Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Would you underline regeneration and renewing? Look at how they both begin. How do they begin? Re. What are we calling this meeting, Pastor? It's a what? Revival. Look at that verse carefully. Regeneration. Renewing. What does that mean? It means to bring life again where there is only death. You know what it means to be regenerated? It means to be regened. We all have our genetic makeup. Where do we get that? From our birth. Watch this, please. When you get born again, spiritually speaking, you get regened. You get taken out of the family of Adam and put in the family of the Lord Jesus. You get taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. That's powerful stuff. You get a new name. It is Christ's name. You get a new nature on the inside. You get a new family. It's the family of God. You get a new home. It's heaven someday. He makes all things new. This is the change we need. Not another program. Not another seven steps to success. Not more human effort and endeavor and ingenuity and ideas. Dear God, deliver us from us. We don't need what men can do. We need what only God can do. And only God can make us new creatures in Christ. Go back to our verse and I'll show you a second truth. See, this is miraculous in nature. I was reading the other day. You know you're getting old when you enjoy documentaries. Did you know that? I was watching something the other day, then got to reading on it, the transformation that takes place when a caterpillar becomes a monarch butterfly. Anybody ever seen something like that? It's amazing. Hey, you look at that little caterpillar that is earthbound. It's stuck on the ground, and it's covered in goo, and it looks like a whole lot of nothing. And just like that, suddenly, it becomes the most beautiful, rare butterfly with its orange and black wings and its little white spots. And somebody says, look at that beauty. Do you know what process that is? That's metamorphosis. May I say to you, what I'm talking about today is not something you can manufacture, not something a preacher can manipulate. It is the divine metamorphosis. It is the miracle power of God to change us from the inside out. So how does it happen? Here's the second truth. Look at our verse. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Mark these words, in Christ. I want you to write down somewhere that the heart change we need is not only a new creation, but it is only found in Christ. In Christ. I have no message today but Jesus. I have nothing to say to you today but Jesus. I have nothing I want to exalt and lift up today but Jesus. Do you know why? Because there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. He's not a curse word. He's the Savior. He's not just a religious cliche or some good example in history or some nice teacher of moral truths. He is the Son of God who became a man without ever ceasing to be God and lived a sinless life and took your sin to the cross and rose again from the dead and offers a new creation if you will come to Christ. Here's the fascinating word, in Christ. Somebody said, well, I got saved. Christ came to live in me. So is Christ in me or am I in him? Yes. Yes. 42 years ago, somebody first shared the gospel with me. And by the way, I love the gospel message more today than I ever did. I was thinking about it coming down, listening to somebody preach the gospel. And I thought, I'm so glad I know the gospel. I love preaching the gospel. Somebody said, don't you get tired of preaching on the same themes and the same truths? Absolutely not. In fact, the more I preach on it, the more I think on it, the more I study about it, the deeper and deeper I go into it, and the more I realize you never plumb the depths of the whole thing. It's glorious. And 42 years ago, just a boy, somebody explained to me that if I would come to Christ, Christ would come to me. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What does that mean? It means if you'll take Jesus, he'll take you. Listen to Christ say, come unto me, oh, you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You understand, whatever your need, Christ is more than enough, but you can't do it. And nobody can choose for you. You must personally come to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you sick of yourself yet? Are you sick of your sin yet? Are you sick of the best man can do yet? Then come to Jesus. Come just exactly like you are. And when you come in repentance and faith, at that moment you are placed into Christ. This is the change of standing. This is the change of nature. Do you remember when Jesus hung on that cross and the lights went out? It was midnight in the middle of the day. Because God the Father turned his back on his own son. That blows my mind. I've been meditating on that lately. Why did the Father turn his back on his son? Here's the reason. Because at that moment, he did not see his son. At that moment, he saw my sin. In fact, look down to verse number 21, same chapter. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Please don't miss this. On the cross, when God Almighty looked down, he did not see his son, he saw my sin. Why was that necessary? So that now when God looks down and sees me, he does not see my sin, he sees his son. On the cross, Christ took all of my sin, and when I came to Christ, I got all of his righteousness. Somebody said, "Preacher, are you perfect?" I'm such a sinner. I have such a rebel heart. But Jesus, Christ has changed and is changing me. Is he changing you? Has there ever been a henceforth? Has there ever been a no more? Has there ever been a new creation? Has there ever been a moment that you came to Christ and Christ made all the difference? A few months ago, I was preaching in a northern state. Everybody knows Yankees need Jesus too, right? And we had a glorious meeting, really wonderful. People came to Christ, and I came back to the evening meeting, and the pastor said, "We had an unusual thing happen this afternoon." I said, "Really?" He said, "There was a woman in the meeting this morning." He said, "She's been a member of this church for a long time." He said, "She called me at the house this afternoon. She said, 'Preacher, I need to be baptized.'" And he said, "Excuse me?" She said, "I need to be baptized. I want to come forward, profess my faith in Jesus, and I want to be baptized." And he said, "Well, you've already done that, and you've been a member of the church for a long time." And she said, I want to explain to you what God's done in my heart today." She said, "This morning I was sitting in the meeting when the preacher was preaching, and," she said, "he just made some offhanded remark." Isn't it amazing how the Lord can connect one comment to your need? She said, "He made one offhanded remark and asked about our personal experience with the grace of God and our personal relationship with Jesus." And she said, "It was like God just sent that right to me." And she said, "I thought to myself, I've been baptized. I'm a member of this church. I volunteer to help around here." She said, "I don't think I've ever really personally had a relationship with God through Jesus." She said, "I didn't come forward this morning," but she said, "I couldn't get away from it." She said, "I went home," and she said, "God just wouldn't leave me alone." She said, "Finally, I got down on my knees, and I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior." She said, "I'm calling to tell you, I got saved today, and I want to publicly identify with Jesus." I'm going to tell you what that is. That's the change only Christ can bring. Now, this word "made" that we read a moment ago, he made us a new creation. It's interesting. You know what it harkens back to? The original creation. You remember, God spoke the whole world into existence. He just said light, there was light, it was very good. But when God made man, look here just a minute. He took a bunch of dirt, remember those earthen vessels? And he shaped man. And then he breathed into man the breath of life. And the Bible says man became a living soul. God made the first creation out of nothing. Can I tell you something greater than that? Now, I like creation, don't get me wrong. I'm going to tell you something even greater than creation, the new creation. You say, why is it greater? You ready for this? Because when God makes us a new creation, he doesn't start with nothing. He starts with worse than nothing. He starts with wicked hearts. And if you wait till you change, I meet people everywhere I go. Well, you know, preacher, I'm going to straighten a few things out, then I'm going to get right with God. No, you're not. You're never going to get right with God because you're trying to straighten it out, and that's not the way the change comes. You know what Jesus does? He takes us just exactly like we are. Every person in this room today spiritually is at a different place. Everybody. Everybody in this room today is a different place, including this preacher. And you know what I love? The Lord knows right where we are, and he meets us right where we are, and he accepts us right where we are, and then he changes us into what he wants us to be. It's a new creation. It's in Christ. Here's the third thing. Look at our verse again. I missed this for years. Therefore, if any man, would you write this down, number three, the change of heart is a choice. There's a choice in this. Does your Bible say any man? I love that. That's hopeful, isn't it? That means no matter who you are, what you've done, or what you think right now, this is accessible and available to you because of the grace of Almighty God. But here's the operative word, if any man. Do you know what if implies? If implies a choice. Some people view God as some, Christian commando who comes in and kicks the door of their heart down and barges in and takes over. And they're waiting on some lightning bolt from heaven to get a hold of them. I'm just going to tell you right now, that's not the way God operates. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks until you open the door, because God doesn't force any man. Watch. God has a will, but God gave you a will to exercise. He didn't make you a robot. He gave you a conscience. He's not going to coerce the conscience. He's going to let you choose whether you're going to obey him or disobey. And at this moment, we all hang in the if. If. Somebody said, I wonder if God's really going to do something this week, if. I wonder if we'll really see revival. Look, please, there's a great if in that. What does that mean? It means that when we finally get on the same page with God and we agree with the Lord and we say yes to the God who is speaking to us and we let Christ do in us what he longs to do, then that glorious transformation comes. Here's the interesting thing about this change. It does not come through effort. It comes through surrender. How many of you would like God to make you more what he created you to be? No. How many saved people here would like to be more like Jesus? I want you to know that doesn't come through your effort. It comes through you saying, oh God, I got nothing. But you're everything. Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, I need you. And I love this. At that moment, when we come to Christ humbly, when we come to Christ honestly, at that moment, the Lord begins working in us to make us what he wants us to be. Oh, may today be the henceforth. May today be the no more. May today be the turning point. May today be the beginning or the continuation of the transformation. I've been praying this for my own life in recent days. I'm going to ask you to make it your prayer in a moment. I've been praying this, oh God, change me. I don't know how many times I've prayed that recently. Just quickly, breathe it to God during the day. Oh God, change me. You know what I've come to discover? I've come to discover that there's so many areas of my life that don't look like Jesus, and I want them to look like Jesus, and I can't change that. But if God will work in me both to will and do of his good pleasure, and I'll yield to him, he will do what only he can do and change this stubborn heart. Turn back one page in your Bible, and we'll end here. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 18. See, the change is not an event, it's a way of life. It's not just a single prayer or an experience. That may be the beginning of it. But look at verse number 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are, what's that word, church? Changed. Changed. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at that verse carefully. There's a lot of truth packed into that one verse. He's changing us into his image. Not to be more like we are. Not to be more like somebody else is. But into His image. You look in the mirror, you see somebody's image. Whose image do you see? I must tell you, too many mornings when I get up and look in the mirror of the Word of God, I see the image of my first daddy. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Adam. But I'm going to tell you what God wants to do. He wants to make me more like my Heavenly Father so that the image of Jesus is reflected in my life. Oh God, change me. Look at that verse again. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory. What's that mean? It means from one revelation of who God is to another, to another, to another, to another, step by step, day by day, moment by moment. It's a process. There's a progression. God is not finished with you. He's trying to change you today. When I was just a boy, we used to sing, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Anybody glad God's still working on us? Hey, look, you're alive today. You're alive today? Then God's not finished with you. There's hope for you. God has you here in this meeting for a reason. He wants to change you to be more like Jesus. Look at it one more time. Changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I know this. I can't change you. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. I can tell you everything I know. That won't change you. My sermon's never changed anybody's life, but the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit can change us forever. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, work in every one of us this week to make us more like the Lord Jesus. Oh, God, change me. You know how the whole story is going to end for Christians? The Lord Himself should ascend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds with Him in the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15? We shall all be... Anybody know the next word? You're going to be changed. You're going to get a glorified body. You're going to live in a much better place. But I submit to you today on the authority of the Word of God, God wants to start changing you right now. So why are we content to have just enough religion to say we're not going to hell? Why are we content to say we know just enough Bible to be good, polite American Christians? Why are we happy and comfortable to sit and get stale and stagnant right where we are in our religion? Dear Lord, shake us loose and deliver us from that. And say, oh God, use the mirror of the Word and use the scalpel of the Holy Spirit and work in me this week to change me from the inside out. Let people look at my life and say, there's a new creation going there. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you get saved, God doesn't rent, He buys. And He doesn't move in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. He moves in to stay. And on the day of your salvation, He backs heaven's U-Haul up to your front door and starts the largest remodeling project in the history of the world. And He starts moving out of your life everything that doesn't reflect the image of God and putting into your life everything that reflects His beauty and His holiness and His glory. Oh, Lord, I want to be who You saved me to become. Oh God, change me. Back in the summer, I was preaching at a camp here in West Virginia. I was only there two nights. Monday night, we had a great meeting. At the end of the meeting, a girl came to me, and I wish I had taken a before and after picture. I really wish I had. You know those before and after pictures? Monday night, stone-faced, cold. I could tell when she walked up to me to speak to me. She came to me. I saw her while I was preaching. She came to me at the end of the meeting, full of bitterness. Bad things in her life, bad things that happened to her. Angry. She said to me, "I don't believe there's a God. I don't really think there's a God. If there is a God, I don't know how good He is." And on and on and on she went. And I said everything I knew to say to her, I really did. But there comes a moment when you can't change a person. And I finally said to her, called her by name, I said, "I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will work in your heart, because only God can do that, to show you who God is and help you come to know Him." She walked away. I prayed for her that night and through the next day. And the next evening, I was just there, the second evening, and I finished preaching, and we had a good meeting, and people responded. I'm standing near the back talking to people, and a different young woman came to me, and she said, "Do you know the girl?" She said her name from last night that you spoke with last night after the meeting. I said, "Yes." She said, "She wants to talk to you again." And I'm just being fully transparent. I thought, oh, heaven help us. I really don't want to talk to her again. She was angry, hateful. I didn't want to get into some big debate and argument. She said, "Well, she's coming to talk to you. She wants to talk to you before you leave." About that time, here she came around the corner. Something was different. She came to me and she started asking questions about spiritual things and about sin and about God. I said, "Look, let's sit here in the corner." She was a very shy girl. I said, "Let's sit down here in the corner, big open place," but we were seated off in the corner. I opened my Bible, showed her some scriptures, and talked to her about God and the difference only Jesus can make in a person's life. And finally, I said to her, "But I can't choose that for you. You must choose that for yourself. Is that what you want?" And I'll never forget that moment. I wish I could describe what happened even on her countenance at that moment. And she said, "Yes. I want Jesus to be my Savior." We bowed our heads. She prayed a brief prayer, called on the Lord. When we said amen, Pastor, she lifted her head. I was looking at a different person. I was just looking at a different person. Let me use a Bible word. I was looking at a new creature. Like right there, where I couldn't see beneath the surface, God, by His Spirit, had so worked in her heart, and she had come to Christ, and Jesus did what no preacher could do. She jumped up. I'll never forget it. She jumped up, and she said to me, "Excuse me, preacher. She said, "I've got a couple friends. I got to go find them and tell them what Jesus has done in my heart tonight." I'm just going to tell you right now, only God can do that. And that kind of heart change only comes through Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me around this building for a moment? You've been so very kind, respectful to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. I thank you. But I'm going to ask you to sit very still and quiet for a moment without any music or movement so that we can all just pray. And remember, I said I was going to ask everybody to join me in one of two prayers. Well, this is that moment. Don't you think when somebody talks to you, the nice thing to do is talk back? You ever speak to somebody and they don't speak and you think, how rude? Well, I'm going to tell you something. When God speaks to you, the right thing to do is talk back. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to Him through prayer. How many people in this room today? Now, nobody's looking but this preacher, so our eyes are closed for a reason. How many people in this room today can honestly say, "Preacher, if I died right now, in the next 60 seconds, if Jesus came, I am 100% sure that my sins have been forgiven and Jesus is my Savior. I know exactly what you're talking about because it's happened in my life. Preacher, I know that I've been born again and I have that new nature. And though my life's not perfect and I'm not perfect, I do know Christ as my Savior." I'd like you to lift your hand in the air with mine. If that's you, I'd like you to lower your hand, and right where you sit for a moment, I'd like you to thank God for that. When was the last time you just said to Jesus, "Jesus, thank you for dying for me"? What a Savior. Now, some of us could not raise our hands honestly, and I want to thank you, dear people, for not lying to God. I think it's very dangerous when people lie to God, because God already knows, doesn't He? He's the God of truth. I'm going to ask you if you'll be an honest man, an honest woman, an honest young person this morning. How many people in this room today, I will not embarrass you, I will not come after you, but how many people in this room today would be honest and say, "Preacher, I'm sitting here right now thinking about my life and thinking about God, and I'm just going to be honest, I am not 100% sure that my sins have been forgiven, that I have that new heart and eternal life. Preacher, I'm not positive that I'm ready to go to heaven like I am right now, but I know this for sure, I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, would you pray for me?" I want you to slip your hand up in the air with mine just long enough for me to see it. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Who else? "Pray for me, preacher. I'm not certain of my soul's relationship." Thank you, sir. Who else? "Pray for me." Now, I want to speak to every person that you just raised your hand, or you didn't, but you should have. I don't want to preach at you. I want to talk to you like I sit in your living room for a moment. Just me and you at the coffee table. And I want to be a friend to you and tell you, The greatest thing anybody could ever tell you, God loves you. Ma'am, God loves you. Sir, God loves you. He loves your never dying soul. And here's how much he loves you. He loves you so much, he gave his own son to take your place on that cross and die for your sins. Isn't that amazing? What a God. What a Savior. And Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. We read it a moment ago, so that you could have everlasting life. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. Now, you know you're a sinner. You just acknowledged it a moment ago. So here's where the salvation part comes. When you recognize not only are you a sinner, but you recognize Jesus is the Savior and you're willing to let him be your Savior. You say, well, how do I do that? The Bible says this, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus died for you? Do you believe he rose from the dead? Do you believe that? Then if you believe that, here's what the Bible says. If you're willing to confess him with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. You've heard that word saved maybe all your life. But I'm not talking about saved from cancer or saved from a car wreck. I'm talking about ultimate salvation, salvation from sin and death and hell. That's what really matters. It's everlasting life. The Bible says we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. It's that simple. In your heart, if you're willing to say, I know I'm a sinner and I can't save myself, and I believe Jesus is the Savior and I want him to save me, and you're willing to confess him with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. Do you want to be saved? All right? Let's deal with this. Somebody says, well, confess with your mouth. Does that mean I got to stand up and give a speech? Oh, no. You know why? Because it's not between you and this church. It's between you and God. The confession is Godward first. How do you do that? And through simple prayer. The Bible says, Romans 10 verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that beautiful? You're a whosoever, aren't you? That just means anybody. If you will call on the Lord, he will save you. Now I'm going to tell you from personal experience, if you'll take God at his word, he'll keep his word. He's a God of integrity. He never lies. He will keep his word. You remember I said I was going to ask everybody to join me in one of two prayers? This is the first one. Every person listening to me right now that's not sure of your eternal destiny, you're not positive that you're ready to meet God, I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer that you can make your own right where you sit and invite the Lord Jesus into your life to be your Savior. You're not talking to me. I can't save you. You're talking to God, and God is listening. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and your heart with me around the room. And any person here in this meeting or even watching, listening online, you're not sure of your salvation, but you want to be sure, I'm going to invite you to join me in this prayer, to take this prayer and make it your own right now. Would you pray something like this from your heart to God? Would you simply pray, dear God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And no one else can save me. But I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Come into my life and forgive me and cleanse me and give me a new heart. Give me the free gift of eternal life. Jesus, I trust you now, once and for all, to be my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Now help me to live for you from this day forward. Our heads are bowed and nobody's looking but this preacher. I'm going to give you a verse if you just prayed that prayer. In the same passage where it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If I gave you $1 million today, would you be embarrassed? You'd be excited, right? Well, I want you to know, if you just took Jesus as your Savior, you just got something a whole lot better than $1 million. You can never spend it up. It's called everlasting life. And I don't think you'll be embarrassed to tell me. So I want to ask right now, who in this place today would say, preacher, right where I'm sitting today, I prayed that simple prayer with you from my heart to God. I meant it, And today I'm trusting Jesus to be my Savior once and for all. Would you raise your hand with mine right now? God bless you. I see you and you. Who else? God bless you. Wonderful. Who else? If you just raised your hand, would you lift your head and look at me? Would you look me in the eye just a moment? Thank you. I want to be the first to congratulate you on the greatest decision you ever made in your life. Would those of you that raised your hand look at me just for a second longer? May I tell you something? Today is not the end, it's the beginning. You know how my wife and I just had our first grandchild? The baby was born, right? But after the birth, there's growth, isn't there? May I say to you, what happened to you today was new birth, born again. But that's the beginning. God has much more for every one of you. Now, I'm going to give you my word on something. A minute ago, I asked you to trust Jesus. I'm asking you to trust me right now. Will you trust me for just a moment? I will not embarrass you. I don't like to be humiliated. I won't make a spectacle of you. But I'm getting ready to ask a whole bunch of Christians if they'll come and join me in a prayer. And I don't want you to get lost in that shuffle. I'd like a man to pray with you and give you something to take home with you about knowing Jesus. I'd like a lady to pray with you. I'd like a lady to pray with you. I'd like a man to pray with you and just give you something to take home about knowing Christ, what it means to live the Christian life. I will not embarrass you. I give you my word on that. I'm going to ask the pastor and those who help him if they'll come right down here in the front with Bible in hand. No music, no trickery, no manipulation at all. I'm being straight up with you. I don't think you'll be ashamed of Jesus because Jesus wasn't ashamed of you when he died on the cross. So before I ask these believers to come, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. And when I do, I'm going to ask those of you that today invited Jesus to be your Savior, if you'll just quickly, quietly get out of your seat and come shake the preacher's hand and say, I'm one of those that's trusting Jesus, and our personal workers will be here to help. Come on right now, would you please? God bless you. Would you come and tell us, I'm trusting Jesus today. God bless you. Men and women, if you can be here with Bible in hand to pray with people, that's so very good. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Who else? God bless you. Thank God for that. Are there others here? You men on the platform, help us here, would you? That's good, good, good. Lots of personal workers. Come, please. Wonderful. Let's make sure somebody to pray with everybody and help them. Thank the Lord. Anybody else, you say, I need Jesus today. So happy for you. I'm so happy for you. Tammy, maybe you can come help us here. Wonderful. Praise God. Wonderful. I want to be sure somebody to pray with everybody, somebody to help everybody. Aren't you glad Jesus meets people individually? Anybody else? Anybody else say, today's the day. I want to settle this once and for all about my soul's salvation. Just come now. Come to Jesus. There could be somebody here today, you're saved, never been baptized. Or you're not a member of the church and you believe God wants you to be. Why don't you get up and come right now and just tell the pastor before anybody else comes, I need to take care of that. And at least find out what the next step is. Let us help you. I don't want to miss you today. Now, I want to speak to every Christian in the place. Matter of fact, let's just do this. I want every true Christian to lift your head and look me in the eye just a moment. If you know God, I want you to look me in the eye. How many of you are glad to see people coming to be saved? Is that good? You remember the day you got saved? Are you becoming the person he saved you to be? I'm not going to ask you to bow your head on this one. Let's just be humble and honest, all of us, for God. How many of you would be honest today and say, you know, preacher, I'm saved and I do love Jesus, but there's some things in my life that just aren't where they need to be, that need to be confessed and forsaken and yielded. I'm a Christian, but I need a new beginning this week. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Yeah. How many of you would say, preacher, as far as I know, I'm right with the Lord, but I'm willing to make that prayer my prayer today and say this week, Lord, change me. Whatever you need to do, put your finger on it, show me, change it. How many of you would say that? All right, then here's what we're going to do. We're not going to sing. So that everybody can pray. In just a moment, I'm going to begin a prayer. I'm going to pause before saying amen. I'm going to point to the pianist. And when I hit, she hits the first note on the piano, I'm going to ask every Christian in the place, first meeting, that knows God's spoken to you and you want God to speak to you more this week, choir loft, all around, I'm going to ask you to leave your place and come join us in this old-fashioned altar. And this morning, let's make this prayer our prayer. Oh God, change me. Father, in Jesus' name, would you do a thorough work now? Would you draw men and women to yourself and young people? Would you change us forever to be more like Christ? And I praise you for it. And right now she begins to play, quickly, quietly. Would you just get out of your seat? Just leave your place. You raised your hand. Come tell the Lord what you told me. Bring your sin to the Lord. Bring yourself to the Lord. Bring this prayer to the Lord. Oh God, change me. Change me.
Thank you.